get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 158, man. You got your guys here, Scott, Dante. You know to follow us on Twitter, at Barbershare Scott, at October's on Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. All different packages, man. Summer Sessions package, 79th and Hollis package. And if you want all of this, if you want to see this video instead of listening to it, subscribe to the Barbershare All Access package for $10. We're doing pretty good. You know, subscriptions are going up. Let's keep it up, man. We appreciate all y'all who've been supporting. And we appreciate everybody who's been submitting to our 79th and Hollis draft fund, man. We're more than halfway there. We're going to keep this going until Friday, man. Any type of money you can donate, even if you can't donate any money, you know, a post on Twitter or Instagram will go a long way. And for all 46 of y'all who did donate, we appreciate and support all of y'all, man. We wouldn't be able to do this without y'all. So we appreciate y'all help, man. But we are here to talk about the NBA playoffs, man. Opening weekend, man. Dante, how you feeling, bro? What's been going on out there in the A?
I'm going to say it's decent, bro. You know, the spirits are low after Trey got his ass locked the fuck up.
Locked up, nigga.
The other day. But, you know, we decent. You know, I had to turn the desk around so people could actually see. You know,
I'm about to say, you ain't got the view in the background.
Get their whole $10 worth. You know, as much as I want to flex on niggas. You know, we got to say that for the nighttime podcast, right. You know. Right now, you know, the sun is not cooperating. But nah, like I said, other than that, I'm decent. Yo, really, really excited for the playoffs to start, get things rolling.
Yeah.
And, you know, week one really didn't disappoint at all, at least to me.
And side note, I know you got a new MLB show you're doing, man. Let the people know what you got with that.
Yeah, bro. Every Sunday, I know we're doing it today on Monday because Easter was yesterday. But every Sunday, I got a Facebook Live show. And also a live show on YouTube called High and Outside. If you know me, you get it. But High and Outside, we're going to do that every Sunday on MLBBro.com. Real dope pod, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, and we really just wrap up the week in baseball. So, you know what I'm saying? It's something for all baseball fans. Even if you're not a baseball fan, but you want to get into baseball, this is a podcast for you. Like I said, it's something real quick. We're not going too in-depth. Just giving you a real quick rundown of everything that's going on during the week and everything we do over at MLBBro.com.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Get in tune with that. Also, for more baseball content, me and Pierce be back later this week with 40-40 Club, getting to a whole bunch of baseball stuff. And, of course, me, Dante, and Mikey be back with the He Gone podcast. We'll get into the first.
A lot of work.
First week and a half of the White Sox season, man. White Sox been playing some pretty good baseball. So we're going to be talking about that. We got a lot of stuff going on. And I want to give a big shout out to all. It was like in total about 300, y'all, who watch me and Mariano do our third pick podcast post-game show. We're going to do that for the rest of the series. Now, I did say we're going to do that for Ball Don't Lie, but as you know, Barbershare Network is the blackest network of all time. And I'm going to keep it a buck. I just don't want to do that shit every day. So we're going to do this shit in the NBA Finals.
A lot of work, bro. Like I just said, a lot of work.
We got a lot of shit on our plates, bro. So I was like, I'm not going to be able to do that shit every night. So we will be doing Ball Don't Lie during the NBA Finals. It'll be easy to do. But me and Mariano will hold it down for the third pick doing the Bulls, man. So got a lot of stuff for y'all, man, here at the Barbershare Network. So let's just, before we get into the playoff recaps and go over the series, of course, just keep in mind we're recording this on a Monday, so we will not be talking about, well, all the things we're talking about is just the weekend games. So we don't know what's going to happen on a Monday night. Of course, when you're listening to them, those game twos will already be in the books. We're going to go a little bit into a play-in recap. I'll give my experience I had in my first play-in game. It's pretty fun. And we'll talk about, talk about our award finalists here to start off, man. So the NBA awards have been, finalists have been announced. And I'm just thankful and that god-awful NBA award show is no longer a thing.
That shit was terrible.
It's god-awful.
That was one of those things, you know, Adam Silver has really been experimenting, trying to, you know, engage the fan base. And I get it, but like, that was one of those things that, like, that was a terrible idea.
Yeah, it was terrible. And, you know, there's nothing like winning an award. You get to have that trophy in front of you, in front of the home crowd, man. So I'm glad we got that last year, to an extent, because of course we knew crowds at half capacity. And by the way, I want to say this first weekend really showed the crowds was amazing. Like, I don't know how we went, you know, a year and a half with little to no crowds, bro. Like,
it's a whole different vibe,
it's a whole different
at a basketball vibe. Game at a basketball game,
at any sporting event, bro. I can't even look at them highlights from the little MLB bubble,
you know? No, but I'm just saying, anytime an an indoor enclosed arena, because like especially, you know, some arenas get louder than others, but like it ain't nothing like I said, 19,000 people literally going there at the same time. Like
it was nuts up in Staples Center.
Deafening, deafening, as Mike Breen would say.
Like, yeah, it was loud up in there. It was loud in Boston. Like when they did the zoom out, you saw people going nuts. And the NBA uploaded a video on their YouTube today of like the top buzzer beaters from the playoffs the last couple of years, and they showed that boof ass Anthony Davis and OG Anunoby game winner in the bubble. And I was like, this just, you know, I'm glad Charles Barkley said it last week when he said that the bubble was the most garbage shit of all time. Because I just, the further we get away from it, and this is stuff we were saying when it was happening, but the further we get away from it, the more bullshit it was to me.
It don't hit the same. It really it don't hit the same.
It don't hit.
So, and then you had the players coming out afterwards talking about it, saying, you know, it was you know, it felt like AAU, X, Y, and Z. So, like, you know, I feel you, bro. It just didn't have that same effect, bro.
It didn't have the same effect whatsoever. And, you know, and we're not saying that any of these championships have asterisks, but let's be real. Every time you bring up the Lakers ring or the Dodgers ring, even if you look at national media coverage from, like, Rich Eisen and guys like that, they'd be like champion-ish. Like, this is gonna it's fucked up to the players, but it's always gonna be there, bro.
The Mickey Mouse ring.
The Mickey Mouse ring with the Dodgers. It's like, nigga, y'all play 60 games. That's not even half the season. There's no doubt in my mind that 2020 White Sox don't make the playoffs in 2020 if it's a full season. No doubt.
Won that bitch in Texas. Like, it's ass backwards, bro.
Like, come on, bro. Like, so I'm just not fucking with that. But let's get into these awards. So all the finalists have been announced for the 6 awards. We're going to go from – I want to go from the mediocre – not the mediocre, but least important awards all the way up to the MVP. Yeah. So NBA Coach of the Year, 3 candidates are Taylor Jenkins, head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Spoelstra, head coach of the Miami Heat, and Monty Williams, head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Man, who do you – well, let's try to give our – if you remember what your preseason – if you don't remember, don't worry about it. But who do you think should win the coach?
I literally have no clue who my preseason pick was.
Yeah, I don't know mine either.
But I'm going to go with Monte. I'm going to go with Monty Williams. You know, I felt like he should have won it last year. But I think this year, you know, with his team being securing the number one seed again in the West, it's easy. That's an easy one for me. Even though I really like the coach down in Memphis. But no, I got to go with Monty.
Yeah, I think all three of these guys have a good you know, a good case. You know, I think Spoelstra's in there more for legacy more than anything. And not to say he was a bad coach, obviously.
Well, they are the one seed. They are the one seed.
But I just kind of feel like, you know, it's kind of like when you nominate, like, this is just really credit to Spo more than anything. I feel like if you nominate Spo, kind of like, I ought to put, you know, Ime Udoka in there, like, because of what he's done with the Celtics. Because, like, when you put Pop in there or, like, Phil Jackson, it's like, we know who those guys are, and I feel like Spoelstra's in that top you know, coach level. So, but I give it to Monty too. You know, Monty's been great. He had a real good chance to win it last year. I mean, we both of us had the Phoenix Suns being very well this year, but I don't think we had them as good as they were. Like, they've been a well-oiled machine from tip-off, even on the injuries they dealt with the Cam Johnson and to Miles Bridges. I mean, Mikal Bridges, not Miles. Mikal Bridges and CP3, they weathered the storm. So I think you got to give it to Monty, man. Monty's been really good with that. This next award, all of these are tough, honestly, except for 6, man. That's a walk-off. NBA Most Improved, Darius Garland from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Ja Morant from the Memphis Grizzlies, and DeJounte Murray of the Spurs, man. I think with this one, it's like
– First of all, why the fuck is Ja Morant in there? Like, I really don't understand why he's in there. Lottery pick. Why the fuck is a lottery pick in the most improved? Like, you expected him to be this. He was what?
Darius Garland, a lottery pick.
They both of them. Like, why are they in this? Like,
all three of them are lottery picks.
I really don't understand this, bro. Like,
all three of them are lottery picks.
But those two, like, because this is easily DeJounte Murray was no lottery pick.
He wasn't.
Hell no.
You can Google that.
Google that real quick. But as I rant, Google that. It is ridiculous that for 2 lottery picks to be in the most improved anything. You expected them to be good. They were lottery picks.
No, you're right. He wasn't. He was drafted pick 29.
Right. Exactly. Like, this is the nigga that should win the award, but he's going to be robbed because they put Ja Morant in the category.
Yeah.
And this is how you know that they're going to not rob Ja Morant for MVP because he got hurt at the end of the year. But this is how you know. This is more so like all right, nigga, we're not going to give you MVP, but we'll throw you most improved. This is a setup. This is a setup, people. This is exactly
it's what like the in the Grammys. You're not winning best album, we'll throw you best rap appearance. Right. Or shit like
each
that.
Song of the year, some shit. Anyway.
I mean, okay, by the definition of the word, it probably should go to DeJounte Murray, but
absolutely.
I'm gonna sound like a nigga, like to go into what you said. I would probably pick Darius Garland. This is why I would pick Darius Garland, because I didn't think this nigga was this good. Like, I understand he's lottery pick. I understand he's playing the well. He's playing the way he should be for a guy drafted that high. I'm just, me personally, I didn't expect DG to be this good.
But see, that's the thing. If you had a vote, that would make sense because that's your opinion. Yeah. But like, at the end of the day, this nigga was a lottery pick.
You just don't like the finalists.
you didn't think that, but the Cleveland Cavaliers thought that. Yeah. So it's like, what are we doing? But all right, yeah. I said, Ja's not gonna get MVP. So they said, all right.
Oh, Ja definitely winning this, by the way.
Right. They have to put it right. We have to put a spotlight on Ja somewhere. So it's like when the nigga can't get the WWE title, we can throw you the Intercontinental belt.
We're gonna let you
rock out for a minute somewhere.
I mean, he's already one of Adam Silver's favorites. Them calls he was getting on fucking Saturday, nigga, was fucking ridiculous, bro. I was like, is this fucking Chris Paul out here? What's up with all these damn calls? Like,
bro, he posted the Michael Jordan shit. That boy better win. He better win. He better win.
I like it. But at the end, we'll get into that in the series. I got some thoughts on the Grizzlies. We'll get into that when we get into the series. But let's move on to the next award. Defensive player of the year. This one was the hardest one for me. Mikal Bridges from the Suns, Rudy Gobert from the Jazz, and Marcus Smart from the Celtics. Who you think should win that? This was real tough to me.
Yeah, because I really like Marcus Smart.
I would love to see a guard win it,
but I think Gobert's going to win it again.
Yeah.
But so my vote would be for Marcus Smart, just because between him and bro who tore his knee, is Robert Williams, right? I know Robert Williams. Robert Williams, who probably damn near would have, he might have won this bitch had he not tore his knee up. But my vote would be for Marcus Smart, but I think Gobert is gonna take it home.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would vote for Marcus Smart too, because I don't like that. It's kind of like defensive player of the year. It's kind of like with MVP in the NFL. Like MVP in the NFL is a quarterback award. Let's just keep it.
Yeah.
And defensive player of the year, they automatically give it to big man. I don't like that. Just because you're a big nigga, know when you play good defense. This is no disrespect to Rudy Gobert. I've actually become a really big fan of his over the last year, because I respect this game now. I didn't respect this game at first. And I got to give a shout out to Pav. Like, Pav was like, you know, they don't give this nigga the ball. And we'll talk about that in the series. But he's an underappreciated player to an extent. And I feel like he is probably the best defender in the league. But I really, really want to see a guard win this. And I really like Marcus Smart. So I would personally vote for Marcus Smart.
Real quick. You know who fault that is? Partially. Shaq.
Shaq never won defense player yet.
No. I'm talking about the way Shaq was shitting on Rudy Gobert when he got contract. We said that just shows the kids all you gotta do is average 10 and 10.
Yeah, he showed that. Shaq be hating, man.
Hits on this, man. He Shaq hates on everybody, and like that's a whole different story. But yeah, that fed into it a lot. Like when bro said that, and he constantly says it and talks about Rudy Gobert, and like nobody really actually looks at the fact. Like you say, we'll get into the touches he don't get, but.
I mean, Shaq be hating. Shaq also wants you to think that Dwight Howard ain't a Hall of Famer. Like, you know, when he was like, there's 4 Hall of Famers on the Lakers team. No, nigga, there's 5. Like, there's 5 dudes on the Lakers team who are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I'm like, he abused Ty McCullough in the final. So,
I love Shaq, but...
We ain't going to talk about it.
Yeah, when he went against real nigga centers, he got served. But that's, you know, like, he Shaq act like he been out the game long enough for we to see him hoop.
Them old niggas put that work on him. Like, yeah, so now he got to get his shit off because he did what he did when everybody was leaving. But it's
like I'm not 24, bro. I remember when you was in your prime. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when you were in your prime. I remember how you used to get served by David Robinson and Patrick Ewing and Hakeem used to put this nigga in a fucking blender. So, yeah, you can go out there and serve Ty McCullough, Rick Smits, and old Dikembe Mutombo. But we love Shaq. Beside the fact that he's a police
legend. Still a legend.
Beside the fact he's a police officer.
You're a cop in 7 states, nigga. I can't trust you.
Yeah, right. Him and Peanut Tillman. By the way, I'm vindicated for years of Peanut Tillman hate with that little restore. I've been told y'all.
I thought y'all was joking. Like, I really thought y'all was joking. I've been
told y'all niggas he was police for the longest time, bro. Niggas thought I was lying. No, I've been
insane. Vindicated.
So, this next award is a layup. 6th man of the year, Tyler Hero, Miami, Cam Johnson with Phoenix, Kevin Love with Cleveland. It's easily Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
It's easy. Like, what are we doing? Topic. Yes, easily Jack Harlow, you know.
The guy with the song named after him.
Right, exactly. This one's tough. NBA Rookie of the Year nominated Scottie Barnes for the Toronto Raptors. By the way, I hope he gets better. Him being out really stinks for that team. My dog, Kay Cunningham of the Detroit Pistons, and Evan Mobley from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I got to go with Kay, young Kay. I know Detroit was bad, but, you know, he really, you know, delivered on most of the promises, you know, people saw in him as the number one pick. So, you know, rookie of the year don't really matter. Record don't really matter. Like, no, you haven't seen too many rookies come in and, like, really do their thing like that. But I think as far as pure performance, like you said, shout out to Scottie Barnes. Because, like I said, especially from the defensive side of the ball, Scottie is amazing. But I got to go with Cade.
I think they're going to give it to Evan Mobley, but I would go with Cade. I would go with Kay. I mean, I just love his game. I wish he wasn't in our division, but I love Kay's game. And he fits that personality of Detroit, like, so fucking much. Perfectly. Like, him putting the buffs on at the draft, you know. Me, I spent a little time in Detroit in November, and they love that kid out there, man. So I love everything that he's doing. I really like the interview with him, and, you know, even though I'm not an Isaiah Thomas guy, obviously, him and Isaiah Thomas, a little cool little interview to see, like, the point guard of the future talking with, you know, the greatest Piston of all times. So that was pretty cool, but I'll give it to Cade. And now for the number one award, you know, something we've been talking about for months, you know, not just on this podcast, but everywhere. Most Valuable Player Award, and the finalists are Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks, Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers, and, of course, Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets.
Wow, no Devin Booker? No Devin Booker? Wow.
You really thought he was going to be nominated?
No, of course not. But no, out of the three, I'm gonna go Joker with the back-to-back in a close vote. I know Embiid did a lot of campaigning at the end of the year. I think
I don't like when niggas do campaigning.
That's, I'm gonna say that's actually gonna hurt. I think that's gonna hurt him. That's gonna hurt him, in my opinion. But I think Joker gonna go back to back. Like, you can't deny what he's doing from the five spot at his size, from a nigga who looked like he can't jump over a piece of paper. So, you know, he's an extremely talented player. And so I think Joker goes back to back.
Yeah, I don't like campaigning. You know, I feel like James Harden did the same shit when Giannis won his first one, and I thought that shit was trash. Like, you should let your game pick this stuff. Get the fuck out of here, nigga. And, you know, I wish I could get to the free throw line as you get. And I love Embiid. But, like, outside of the campaigning, I just feel like, you know, I don't know, a lot of people like, look at record. And that's cool. I get that. And I do feel like with the way the NBA votes for MVP, record has a lot to do with it. But you got to look – I think context needs to be in it. You know, when Russell Westbrook won it, they were a 6 seed. It was because he done something that has been done in 40 years. So there was an outlier there. With this, he won, 46 games playing with fucking AM PM baggers. Like, nigga, like, he was playing
Everybody's hurt.
You know, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, everybody was hurt. For him to be in that conversation, even had a chance to get into that top four – you got to do that. And obviously, and he's putting up just ridiculous numbers, bro. Like, he is – I know if we take Giannis out of it, because, you know, Giannis is a big man by default, you know, if we take Giannis out of it, Jokic would be the best big man in the league. Like, he's just – what he does is just phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? And I would give it to Jokic, you know, back to back. That's what I would do. And Giannis is officially in the Michael Jordan, LeBron, you know, where you want it too much, nigga.
Right, but how many he got? Three, two. He got two. Yeah. He gonna no. He no. He still
he'll
got
win room. One more.
I think he'll win two more. So with that said, I wouldn't be surprised if he like upset the nigga and won it this year.
I wouldn't be mad about it either.
Yeah,
but I think all three of these guys are deserving.
Yeah. Yeah, they all have had amazing seasons. So
yeah,
either way, we don't go wrong with this one.
Yeah, man, it's a good one, man. So let's get into the play-in recap, man. Play-in, the second official play-in tournament is in the books. For all of you people out there who hate the play-in tournament, why do you hate good things? You know, and people are like, well, you got a lot of teams that don't deserve to be in it. Let's keep it a buck. How many 8th and 7th seeds without a tournament really deserve to be in there? You know, like, how many of those 1 and 8, 2 and 7 seeds are actually great? You know, you got an outlier this year in Nets Celtics. That type of shit's never gonna happen again. I like how every game is important. You can see these teams want to be in the playoffs and not make the play-in. It gives the regular season more meaning. And there were some really, really good games over this past week. Outside of maybe, you know, the Atlanta-Charlotte game, which I thought was going to be great, which was just god-awful, I was pretty entertained by these games. And I feel like even for young teams, it could be used as a stepping stone so you can grow from this. You know, we saw the emotion from Patrick Beverley and the whole Minnesota Timberwolves team. We saw how last year it was used with Memphis using this as a launch pad to get into the playoffs, and they went head-to-head with Utah, and now they're number two seeds. So I like it as a growing point. What's your thoughts on the play-in tournament in general and how these past week's games were?
Yeah. I mean, albeit manufactured, I think the whole energy behind, you know, single game elimination for some teams and, you know, double to nothing for those, it was cool. Well, it is no single elimination, but, you know, one game advancing for some and the other teams having a fight for that last spot. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? I've never been anti-playing. I ain't got no issues with it. And so I think this year, again, we had several good games. I think it's unfortunate with the Paul George shit. That's just...
Yeah, that was silly. I was on my walk in the morning. I got the ESPN alert. I was so fucking pissed. I was like,
believable, bro. That's very believable. But you know, that was very unfortunate with all the injuries they had. I felt like I said, you was gonna be covering a lot of Clippers playoff games, but you know,
with and the Clippers were snake bitten. Clippers were snake bitten all year. You got to give credit to Ty Lue. I think he did a phenomenal job considering all the things that got thrown their way. I mean, Kawhi didn't play 1 second on the court. You know, what's his face? Paul George missed more games than LeBron and Anthony Davis, and they still were able to get in the play-in. You know, and they had opportunity to win that game. Yeah, I was in the building.
Exactly.
They had opportunity to win the game. Like, so it's like, I'm really not trying to hear that as an excuse. Like, I saw some Clippers fans tweet, this is why the play-in stinks. They were the number 8 seed. They should have that seed automatically. Like, well, you know, they were fucking their food up. Like, they had two opportunities. They had two opportunities in both games to win and move on. They jagged the 13-point lead. When they jagged the 10-point lead against Minnesota in the first game. They were getting their ass beat in the first half of the Pelicans game. They had a tremendous third quarter, and then they went back to doing stupid shit in the fourth quarter to blow that game. And when I was watching, the crowd was loud. I'll give them, the crowd was loud, and it's just like, I feel like Marcus Morris and Reggie were trying to play to the crowd instead of getting smart shots. You know what I'm saying? But my first play-in game, awesome atmosphere. You know, I sat. That was the first time out of the whole season I actually sat on the court and watched the full pregame workouts, because I just wanted to like soak in the whole experience, you know, seeing all the rally towels, and it was just cool, just kicking it. I feel like one of the big dogs. I'm sitting there and I got bumped from the wire next to me. Cool dude. Shout out to Wendell Pierce. He was super cool. I wanted to ask him like every wire question on planet Earth, but I know he was like, got asked that shit a million fucking times.
Yeah.
So I just shook his head and I was like, man, I'm a massive Wire fan, man. I love your character. And he was like, oh man, thank you. He was cool dude. But you know, I saw Swin Cash was there.
Big Swin.
What's the Teresa Weatherspoon? That's her name.
That works for the Pelicans.
Yeah. She was
there. That's Spoon.
Yeah, she was there. The legend, Mr. West, Jerry West was there chilling. You know, whoa, just right over here. So I'm like, around all these people, I'm like, man, I'm just a nigga from Chicago sitting here with all these motherfuckers. Yeah, you know, David Griffin was over there on the phone. You know, and you know, we saw Zion is a massive motherfucker, by the way. Like, this is like, people get on, he's fat, he's just a big nigga, dog. Like,
yeah,
he's just a big fucking dude. And Brandon Ingram might be the most lanky motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. Like,
yeah,
like he can't weigh more than like 150 pounds, if that.
Now, Hoopers are already like abnormally, like, just look crazy, but I'm like, niggas like him and KD. That shit is wild.
It's super lanky, man. So it was just, you know, I was, you know, enjoying all of it. I was kind of upset they lost. I wanted a couple of playoff games, but it was a cool little season. I want to give a shout out to the Clippers organization. Shout out to the homie Curtis, man. Anybody who helped me this season, man. I had fun. It was a cool little experience. Knock off my checklist, man, and you know, be at the NFL draft next week. You know, hopefully I run into my nigga Rich Eisen and Pat McAfee. You know, we're going to be doing a lot of – we got some good ideas we're going to give y'all for content next week, so look out for that. But any other thoughts on the play-in before we move on to the actual playoffs?
Oh, no, I'm just – like I said, we we bash Adam for the bad ideas. We got to shout him out for the good ideas.
Yeah, you know, good, I think
this is one of those things, you know what I'm saying, that's definitely worked in the league's favor, and I think it adds excitement to the season. So shout out to bro for the play.
Shout out to Adam Silver for that one. Even though Big Raj would have threw out them positive tests with Paul George, by the way. That shit.
He would have played.
He'd have been like, huh? No, you got the sniffles, nigga. You good. Yeah. There's no way Big Raj had that fucked up. But let's get into our recaps from the weekend, man. Of course, we're just going to be talking about the weekend games because we're recording this on a Monday. We don't know what's going to happen in the game Tuesday later tonight. This is a strictly weekend recap. We're going to start with the Western Conference, go to the East. Then we'll talk about things that stood out and best performance of the weekend. So let's start out on the West, man. 1-8 matchup, the Phoenix Suns taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. They won 110-99. This was a game that was an ass whooping for majority of the game. And then they kind of like took their foot off the gas, let New Orleans back into the game. Chris Paul led all scores with 30 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists, had a massive fourth quarter. We had 19 points, and you really don't see CP3 that offensively aggressive. And he just kind of, got into his bag and just, he said something in the press conference that really stood out. He said, "Just because I don't shoot don't mean I can't shoot." And he, as a nigga who is part of the Chris Paul haters club, I will say he put on a masterful performance last night. I still think the Pelicans is going to get their ass beat. I think it's going to be a clean fucking sweep. I think, really, especially with Luka's injury and because of how the Jazz are, I think that the Suns are going to be on cruise control into the Western Conference Finals. And this is one of those series where I kind of look at it as like, I'll watch it, but this is, I don't know if I'm going to watch one game front to back out of this whole series.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you, bro. Like you said, the Pelicans, they're gonna fight. But at the end of the day, this team is going to do exactly what they expect to happen. You feel me? So, Chris Paul – I apologize. I said he was getting too much credit for the Suns' success this year. He came out and definitely, put his foot on the gas. Game one, Devin Booker had 25 as well, though. Devin Booker, 25, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. No, I'm sorry. 25, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. So Devin Booker definitely did his thing. But I think one person on this team that really doesn't get enough credit is DeAndre Ayton. Bro was 10 to 15. He's very efficient. He would look great in a Chicago Bulls uniform. But as somebody who really don't get the credit he deserves, when we talk about Gobert not getting touches, I mean, he's extremely efficient with the 10 to 15 that he does get. So imagine if he was on a team where he got more. So that's somebody who he plays extremely well for Phoenix and fits right into that system and works well with Chris and Devin. Knowing his role doing this thing, he had he had 9 rebounds, so he didn't get the double-double, but, 21 points. So they had 3 people over 20 with, 5 total in double figures. So, even with the star power they had, you see they still spread it around. So, New Orleans, they're going to put up a fight. It's going to, shout out to Larry Nance. I really wanted Larry Nance in that original trade we did. But they're not going to have enough. CJ, CJ still going to fight. We've seen CJ do this in the playoffs. He going to get hit 22, 23. But the
one is just like, I think with CJ, it's like, are they impactful 22, 23 points? And this is no disrespect to CJ McCollum, which, of course, it's going to sound disrespectful. Every time a nigga says it's not disrespect, it comes off disrespectful. He's a player two-ass nigga. Let's just keep it a buck. Like, yeah, you're not going to be the number one on a team. Let's just keep it real. And when Zion comes back, he's really option number 3. Is Zion B.I.
Absolutely.
And he did not play well in that fucking play-in game either. Like, it's, Brandon Ingram was cooking them niggas in the first half, and then, like, the fourth quarter came, and it was like, oh, let me get back to what I was doing in the first half. They can't fucking guard me. So, and this is no disrespect to the Pelicans. Pelicans had a great season especially with everything they went through to even be in this, winning 2 play-in games on the, one on the road. And, Willie Green has done a phenomenal job in his first year as a coach. I mean, that speech he gave really ignited that team. I didn't see it until I got home. I saw everybody tweeting about it, and I watched it. I was like, yeah, that had me running through a fucking brick wall. So I got to give it to them. But it's, it's the Suns on a mission. The Suns on a mission. And, Chris Paul, this is his best opportunity. I feel like they really took that loss last year. It was like, all right, we're going to learn from this. We're going to move on to the next thing. It's just inevitable. Yeah, it is what it is. The series is going to be over pretty quickly, man. So let's get to the other series in the West, the number 2 seed, Memphis Grizzlies, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. who won a nice playing game against the Clippers, massive game from Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell. Cat had a rough game, but Cat didn't have a rough game in this one. This one to me is my, you know, outside of.
I don't know why that shit was so funny. Yeah, we're gaming this. No, that,
I mean, it didn't. You know,
it was pretty easy tonight. That night,
yeah, he took advantage of the matchup he had. To me, this is the second most intriguing series outside of Boston and Brooklyn, obviously. But before I get into this actual game, I got some shit to talk about with Ja Morant and the Grizzlies because you was bringing up the Michael Jordan post, and I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like that energy. I like how he, you know, did the little handwriting notes emoji after they lost the game. But here's the thing. And this is with coverage with the Grizzlies all fucking year. They're a good team. Ja Morant is great. He really was an MVP candidate for majority of the season. But y'all ain't won shit. Like, why are we acting like this? Like, I seen somebody like the Timberwolves stun the Grizzlies. It's not stunning. There's really not that big of a gap between these teams, talent-wise, as people make it up to be. It's just, I would say the Grizzlies are a smarter team at the end of games than the fucking Timberwolves are. Like, honestly, the Timberwolves should have won by, like, 20-plus because they just do dumbass shit at the end of the game. That's the only difference between the two. The Grizzlies have not won anything. The Grizzlies were not projected to finish the number two seed. So I don't know why we're treating them like they are Phoenix or they are, you know, Golden State or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand, you know, why people get that love. And if you're going to be doing the Jordan shit, just know when that slander comes, you got to accept it.
Absolutely, bro. And you talk about Minnesota, bro. This team has, you know, scrapped and fought their way into the playoffs. And so the two young teams, you know, as much as we saw what Memphis did this year, it was always going to be a good matchup. It was going to be a dogfight because, like you said, this team in Minnesota does have a lot of talent. You see, they have six people in double figures. You know what I'm saying? So Anthony Edwards is a superstar. Like, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. He's going to be the next guy. He's the next guy. Like, just for him. What did D Rose score in that game against Boston? Because I know 36 Anthony points. Edwards. Because I know Edwards ended up with 36. So, yes, 36 so bro points. Tied him. All right, went crazy.
Who has the record? There's somebody I forgot. Who had.
And it's D Rose, ain't it?
No, D Rose doesn't have the record anymore. D Rose is like number two. Somebody had the record. Okay. I saw it on ESPN the other day, but no, D Rose doesn't have the record anymore. It got broken by somebody else. Yeah.
But Malik Beasley had Gay has 23.
And look, that's the thing I want to talk about with the Grizzlies. I mean, not the Grizzlies, but the Timberwolves. Others like Malik Beasley had a great fucking game. You know, he had 23 points. He was four. You know, he had hit four big threes. But you know who was the guy who, you know, they were giving a lot of love in the press game. Also, too, we got to give some love to my man Jaden McDaniels. Jaden McDaniels put up, I get it right, 15 points, had two big threes, man, had seven rebounds. He was all over the fucking court. And I really hate plus minus, but he was a plus 19 on the court. That was big. Yeah. And that helped out with the rest of the team from what you got. You know, D'Angelo Russell did not have a good game, went 2-for-11 after that big playing game, but Anthony Edwards. Almost 24, you know, almost 50% shooting, 40 minutes, 36 points, six assists, you know, and then Cat was dominating Jaren Jackson. I mean, Cat 29, 13, 11, 18 from the field, was good from the 3-point line, and he had a big ass dunk, you know, and I think a lot of people, and, you know, slander's gonna come, that's part of the playoffs, but yeah. He was really acting like Cat wasn't just gonna hoop again, and Cat really came out and took advantage of his matchup.
I was gonna say Jordan Wood sitting courtside, boy, he got to show out.
Right,
ain't no way. But no, yeah. On a serious tip, like this is dope to see for Cat because not only everything he's going through, but just who everybody expected him to be coming into the league. And you know, throughout these last few years, you know, it's been that not necessarily a bust talk, but just saying, oh, he's just getting numbers on a bad team. He's not trying to win. So like to see them get this W and shout out to Pat Bev just being that energy for that team. That, you know, what I'm saying Pat just being Pat. I'm saying he took
even say Pat Bev can't play basketball. One, y'all don't watch hoops, two, y'all listen to what that brick merchant Rich Russell Westbrook says too much. Like y'all, like y'all listen to that nigga too much. Maybe we Chicago niggas by the
But you gotta think when you if you just actually watched him play, like I forgot who told me a long time ago, bro. It was like for people who like, you could tell somebody really knows sports. Yeah. Watch a game with them. Put that bitch on mute, and y'all talk about what's going on.
Right, exactly.
Don't tell me what the announcer's telling you. Put that bitch on mute. Me and you gonna talk about the game, and you tell me what you see. Yep. Like, especially with sports like football, where people just be yelling shit out, like, stop the run, stop the, like, niggas don't really be knowing what's going on. But like,
see, that's what I love about football, because, like you said, it weeds out who don't know. Basketball, there's so many bad takes in NBA Twitter because niggas don't really watch. And it's so narrative-driven that people keep talking about the narrative more than they do the basketball. I think because, I forgot who said, I think it was Nate Jones on Twitter. He's a good follow. He said that niggas play pickup, so they think that they can. Every nigga on planet Earth thinks they can play fucking basketball, so they think they know more about the game than they really fucking do. So it's really easy to tell who knows and who doesn't know the game. And if you look at Pat Bev's impact can't be read on a stat sheet. Same thing like Alex Caruso. You look at Alex Caruso's stat sheet, you don't look like he do shit. That nigga was a defensive wizard in game one. Like, he was all over the place, fucking court. Like, he put on a defensive masterclass. Like, there was a part in that game where he was posting up Giannis, like, and stole the ball from him. So it's like with Pat Bev and guys like that, you can't really look at the box score and see what they did. He was great in this game, and he getting in their face. And, you know, you need that type of shit. He's a leader, and even doing a little gritty off the court that Ja likes to do. And I think he played solid defense on Ja.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he always gonna do that. That's his calling card. So I'm with you, G. I think. But like I said, having that Pat Bev, and then with Pat, you know what I'm saying? We've seen him get buckets. We know that he can give you a bucket when he needs to. And I think he ended this game. He only had 10. But I mean, like you said, he's one of those inspect. Well, that's not a guy I'm checking the box score for Pat Bev.
Right.
Like, I watched the game. I saw what Pat Bev did. You know what I'm saying? I know his impact. But I think just going forward, if you're Memphis, you got to get back to, you know, really, you know, what you do. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to play Grizzlies basketball. And as much as, you know, Ja is the star and the focal point, you know, he went 8 for 18, shot 44%.
Nigga had 20 fucking free throws. This is a fucking egregious, bro. Like, a lot of them fouls, I was like, nigga, what is this?
Yeah. Like, it was very Joel Embiid-ish.
Yes, it was. Know? Yeah.
A lot of ticky-tacks. But you got to get back to, you know, even though they had 1, 2, 3, 4, ended up with 5 people in double figures, but still, you know, you need just
Steven
a little bit.
Steven Adams didn't do motherfucking thing, and that's a bad matchup. Like, that's what Cat, like, you can't put Steven Adams on.
Cat is going to play him off the court. Yeah. Like, that's going to be an adjustment you have to make, as much as you want to play, as much as you want to rock with Steve Adams, but like, the nigga literally put up a donut. So,
I had to double check. I was like, this nigga play? Like, yeah. 24 minutes, nothing. No free throw attempts. He had 3 rebounds. It wasn't good.
It was brutal. But and that's not saying you expected him to be a major contributor to this team. But just far as like for what Cat is going to bring for Minnesota, they may have to, you know, see how you can move something around there and, you know, have Steven Adams on the bench and not playing.
Yeah. What do you think, like, long? Like, we didn't get the preview. This is how long, how many games you think it's going? I picked Grizzlies in 6. I might say Grizzlies in 7 now. This might be a long one.
With this one, you know, we've been talking about Memphis all year, and I thought about how, you know, they're a really young team, and you know, he's hot right now. So with the way Anthony Edwards is playing,
and that boy had no fear.
He don't have no fear.
No fear.
You see the way the man talk. Like, he talks like he's just
he is that nigga. You see what he told Ross? He's like, we them guys.
Yeah. So no, I'm gonna go Timberwolves in 7.
I'm not mad at it, bro. I love this Timberwolves team. And for Minnesota Timberwolves fan, you gotta be happy, because like, Minnesota has been like Sacramento. Like, they've been the abyss. Did you know this is only the third time in like Timberwolves history that they've ever had a series lead? Like, I think people forget doing them. KG wasn't out the first round.
Boy, getting cooked
until you got Sam Cassell and Spree.
It's like Tim Duncan, Kobe. You know, getting smacked.
He was getting the worst matchups, bro. Like, he couldn't beat nobody. Like, even the year they got the number one seed, and Kobe put on a fucking clinic on them niggas in 2004. like by himself, damn near. But I really love what they're building out there in Minnesota. You gotta be happy about that big three, man. So let's go to the other story, other series out west, the 3-6 matchup. The Golden State Warriors hosting the Denver Nuggets. They won game one, 123-107. This series right here, and this is, you know, Joker is great, but this is something I think we both picked Warriors in five, because I just don't think Denver has enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they had Michael Porter, if they had Jamal Murray, this would be a much more interesting series. But this is something for the Warriors where you just kind of, you know, trying to get your feet wet, try to get, you know, Steph into it. Steph came off the bench in this game, had 16 points, went 3-for-6 from the, from the 3-point line. But the story of this one is my man Jordan Poole, 30 points. He went 5-for-7 from 3, 9-for-13 overall. He played really, really good. To me, he's like, you know how they call it, the Splash Brothers? They're the Splash family now. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of like when Batman, when Robin became Nightwing and then they got Batgirl. They the Splash family now. He brings like a new dynamic to him and Clay. And Clay was phenomenal. I love what I saw from Clay also. Clay was, 5-for-10 on 3-point line, had 19 points. He looked really mobile. And Draymond, I'm a big Grit. I love Draymond. Like, Draymond to me is crazy to sound. He's underrated.
When right he is. Because I do think Draymond, one of those players, people underrate him because of his attitude, because of the way he talks. Because
he talks shit.
You niggas don't like Draymond, but if you're talking about basketball, you can't sit here and say that he's not an extremely good basketball player.
Yeah. I just think, the Warriors is like, it's a tune-up series. Like, Jokic is going to get his number, but actually, I really love the way they defended Jokic. Yeah, he was getting his ass beat out there. Like, Jokic got nothing easy on Saturday. That nigga was red, huffing and puffing. He was like, what the fuck? Like, and that's what we really noticed. Like, I'm out here by myself. And I just don't think it's going to be enough. And this is like to get Steph. I think Steph looked good for a guy who ain't played in a month. But And I understand Steve Kerr taking him off the bench, but I think with lower extremity injuries that he should probably start. In my opinion.
Well, I think just simply because it's Steph and his history, you just take it easy with this. So, I wouldn't mad at the 21 minutes. And even going forward, because I think, like you said, this is going to be a tune-up series. So It's not going to be a series where they really need Steph. So, like, they continue to play like this, sharing the ball. If you got 10 threes between Clay and Jordan, you know what I'm saying? On most nights, they're going to be able to, you should be able to maneuver around the rest of that. And with Draymond playing like Draymond, G. And also, shout out to Andrew Wiggins. I know he's come back to the pack a little bit. People were just clowning him because, he made the All-Star game because of, the fam, all that extra shit. But either way, he's become a really good contributor for them, a solid third, fourth option on most nights. So I think, this series, we picked this one, didn't we?
Yeah, we both said Warriors and five.
Yeah. So, this got off how we expected. Like, I do expect I expect this Joker to get a game probably at home, but it's just not going to be enough.
It's not going to be enough. But I really love it. It was the first playoff game at Chase Center. Everybody comparing it to Oracle. And yes, I this is my thing about it. I understand, it's Silicon Valley. Oh, they pricing fans out, which I agree. That happens anytime you get a new stadium. Like, that can be a complaint all this time. Because it didn't sound as loud. I actually liked what I heard from the fans, from what I expected. Like, you got to look at Oracle's an old-ass stadium. Old-ass stadiums sound louder because it's old.
And I was just about to say that. As a nigga who's been to Oracle, as they say, on several occasions, they don't make stadiums anymore with cement ceilings. So, Oracle was literally just old as hell. And so, you appreciated the nostalgia. And it did get loud as hell.
Yeah.
But,
I think Chase Center got as loud as it possibly could for that little Silicon Valley ass fan base they got.
Yeah, that's always gonna be deeper than an arena. That's Oakland. That's Oakland versus San Francisco.
That's the Oakland San Francisco thing. Yeah, exactly. And I think like my dad used to say this. I've never been to Chicago Stadium. Well, I've been to Chicago Stadium, but it was like for a circus. So obviously, I don't fucking remember that shit. I was like,
Shit don't count.
Yeah, but my dad used to always say, Giannis said it don't get loud like Chicago Stadium. Like you can hear it because it was old as fuck.
Old heads always say that. They say, the sale don't get loud like Kaminsky. Of course, the seats were on top of each other.
Right, the seats ain't fucking bullshit. Right. And look like when they first got the new Kaminsky, it looked like them seats look like prison seats. I'm so glad they changed the color in that bitch.
You said, damn, you get a nose. You like they was really the nosebleeds. That shit was crazy.
But there's really not that much to say else about this series. And the next series, if I had a soundboard, I give the Shannon Sharp skip. This is the NBA TV series, and it's Mavericks Jazz, and I feel so bad for Mavericks fans because it don't sound like Luka playing this series. It don't sound like he out for game one. He's out for game two, and they said that they are not going to clear him until he is ready, which he's just not going to be ready in time. And they still can have a chance to win more because I think Utah's smelly, but this is just like they won. Jazz won 99-93. And if you, this is the thing about it, the Jazz are just the most unserious ass team. This game was way closer than it fucking needed to be. Like, the Jazz should pulverize these niggas. But this nigga, Donovan Mitchell, is one of the most overrated niggas. Like, we saw go to hell ball on a display we have not seen this weekend in total. Like, Kyrie played go-to-hell ball and worked up into the last possession. This nigga Donovan played go-to-hell, a 10 for 29. Like, nigga, it was nothing impactful about that. And what we saw from DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, which we'll get into in a minute, nigga, what the fuck? And niggas, just like...
Niggas were shooting from Hanky Key.
Donovan was going 105. He was not looking Rudy Gobert's way at all. Rudy Gobert had one field goal attempt. You know, what are we doing here? Like, it's just like, there's really nothing else to be said about this series. Dallas did what they could do. I mean, getting 22 from Spencer Dinwiddie, 24 from Jalen Brunson, 14 from Finney Smith, 15 from Reggie Bullock. They don't have any offensive options without their guy. So they're doing as much as they can. And, Dallas fans got to be upset because I feel like this is a team that could have made the conference finals, I believe, if Luka was healthy. That's how much I believed in them. And as a Bulls fan, I know how that feels to have a team, and this is their best season they've had since they won a championship, be derailed by injury. But it's just like, there's really nothing else to say about this series. Like, Jazz will probably win, and they don't deserve it. They're going to get flame broiled by fucking Phoenix.
Yeah, disappointing for Mavericks fans more than anything. You know, Jalen gave you 24, but you did it on 24 shots. That ain't going to cut it. That's not going to do it. And so, you know what I'm saying? It's really disappointing. Because I hate it because, you know, you got so many people, and I know we're supposed to just ignore people who say silly shit, but you got so many people who gonna try to shit on Luka's legacy despite how young he is and say, well, this is another season of him not doing anything or not getting where he needed to go. So to have it derailed by injury, a lot of people don't take context into consideration. That's really unfortunate. But yeah, this is one of those series. Now that we know Luka, you know, it's looking more so toward the not playing side. They'll stumble into a, you know, like I said, 5-6 game, probably five game series win.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny. I could also see them niggas jacking it. Like, that's just how unserious.
Yeah, them niggas don't like each other so much.
Hate each other, bro. Like, it's all on down. He acted like Gobert wasn't on the court.
All it's gonna take is Rudy Gobert not playing defense. Like, that's he's bench man. If he just stops, you know, says, you know, fuck it, y'all go ahead, go to the rack, go crazy.
I want to be a Bull anyway.
That's gonna be an issue.
That's gonna be an issue, man. But let's move to the Eastern Conference. First game yesterday was a fucking snoozer between the fucking Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat. I'm trying to get this. ESPN is fucking tweaking right now. I don't know. Here we go. So the Hawks got their ass whooped. here we go. So the final score is 115-91. Your boy, James G. Buckets, as I like to call him. Y'all, why do you hate Jimmy Butler? I see a lot of you and a lot of bulls. Y'all does not like this nigga.
It's not a hate for Jimmy Butler, but it's just the selectively getting tough with random niggas. Usually people who are way smaller than you. And it's just like, let the Jay Crawfords and less talented niggas of the world do shit like that. You, Jimmy Butler, like, just hoop, lock niggas up, and enjoy the game, bro. Like, that'd be my issue with Jimmy. Like, you know, I really rock with Jimmy a lot as a basketball player. That ain't never it. It's the antics more than anything. So,
okay.
You know, but I mean, they had Trae Young and a Cripple Crawl face yesterday. Nigga, boy. Like,
1 for 12.
There was nothing. He was getting nothing.
That nigga was in hell. You know, Miami, they did with Miami. They spread the ball evenly. Jimmy had 21 points. Let me see. PJ gave you 16. I always feel like the fucking Bucks really fucked up by not giving him his money. I feel like PJ was an underrated part of that team. Tyler Hero did what he usually does. He had 27 points off the bench. But this accountant-looking nigga –
Big Duncan.
Nigga, Duncan Robinson, 27. Hero had six. I'm looking
at say Tyler had six. I'm gonna say Tyler had
six. Yes, Tyler had six. He did not have a game. He went 3 for 11. I was looking at Duncan Robinson. 27 points, 9 of 10. You know, from the field, 8 of 9 fucking threes. And them threes was like niggas was all in his face, bro.
Yeah.
What'd you think about his performance?
I mean, Duncan, you know, he's 2022 Steve Novak, but I mean, I accept it. You know, I accept him for who he is and the role he serves on the Heat. But no, he had a hell of a game. It's just a matter of, you know, how many Duncan Robinson. You know, Duncan Robinson is one of those guys. He's going to do that at home. But what he going to do when they come to Atlanta? He give you 8. Right. You know, some shit like that. So I'm not expecting that from Duncan all the time. But that was a good game one. That was one of those game ones where you get a random explosion by a guy. Pause. And he was that player this time.
Yeah, I think, you know, I still think it's going to be a long series. Like, I'm not the biggest Miami Heat fan. I just, you know, as much as I love Jimmy, y'all know I'm a Jimmy guy. I've been a Jimmy guy since day one when he had the shitty fade. But he's not a guy. I feel like he was more offensive in Chicago. But the Miami Heat version has been more of a distributor. And to go where the Heat want to go, he's got to score points. And I feel like this is still going to be a long series. Trey not going to shoot like this the whole series. You know, you can put defense on him. He's still going to find a way to get his. And I feel like once this scene shifts to Atlanta, it can change a little bit. But I still got, you know, I still think the Heat are going to win the series. But I don't think that we're going to get many more blowouts from this. So
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if we got another one, at least one more from Miami. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Hawks gonna blow them out because you know Miami's defense is too good for that.
Yeah, Miami plays
on playoff time when they can key in on Trey and let's say for instance in game two if they start doing something and that works, you know, Spo gonna go right to the drawing board. All right, let's run this at them. Blah 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 blah. So no, I think Trey gonna struggle this series. This ain't the Knicks, my nigga. Like this is not this
really ain't the Knicks.
This is New York.
It's Pat Riley basketball. Even though Pat ain't coached in like 20 years, this is Pat Riley basketball. Like Pat. It stole niggas out the club about like Bam was doing some amazing shit in game one. Like I really love what I saw from Bam, man. But it's going to the game of the day. I think the series that everybody has had circled, and this is you get an Eastern Conference Finals style matchup in the first round between the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. Celtics won a thriller 115-114. Jason Tatum. Had a big game, 31 points, hit the game-winning layup. Al Horford had a massive game, 20 points, 15 rebounds. Marcus Smart was phenomenal, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. And we saw real growth from Marcus Smart because he usually take that last three. If this was last year, he took that three then, like for sure. And Jaylen put in 23. He had a good game on the net side. KD did not have a good game. KD was 9 for 24. We don't ever see KD shoot like that. Only had 23 points. The story here was Mr. Anti-Vaxxer himself, Kyrie fucking Irving. That nigga is a
fucking... Big guy.
Yeah, that nigga is a fucking weirdo, but that nigga is a fucking master at basketball. He's 39 elite. Points. Elite. Like, he might be... This might sound wild, but especially considering the nigga he played with. He might be the most gifted offensive player I've seen in, you know, post-Jordan, obviously.
He's up there. I would say, you know, handle-wise, it's second to none. Like, it's just unheard of. He got that bitch on the string. Like, that shit is ridiculous. Like, he's one of those few people, when you say that, it's no exaggeration. Like, that's literally what it is. Like, that's how he dominates, the finishing in the lane, you know what I'm saying? And then for him to have the jumper as well. So, yeah, you know. As far as everything, you know, we know his history with the Celtics, so I'm not shocked. And you know,
what do you think about his post game comments, though?
I mean,
because Shaq and Chuck went real old nigga on. I feel what Kyrie's coming from. I didn't feel like Kyrie was complaining. I just felt like Kyrie was like, "Oh, the fans can do what they want, but I'm gonna do what I want too."
Yeah, I feel like it was just one of those things where it's like he's not taking that whole "Oh, I'm a professional, I have the." Yeah. And Barrett type shit. He's like, nah. Y'all saying
he wasn't crying about it either.
Yeah, he said it's cool. He was like, if y'all gonna say fuck you, suck my dick, he said I'm gonna say it right back.
Yeah.
So like, I don't have an issue with that. I think you know what I'm saying. You know, I firmly believe we need a couple athletes to whoop niggas ass. So
for sure,
I'm perfectly fine with him just being up front with it and saying, like you said, it was no anger, it was no malice when he said it. He said, no, I'm just if they say it to me, I'm gonna say it back. Basically, So I was cool.
I have no problem with heckling until it comes to like disrespecting family members. I think everything else is, you know,
talking about dead people and fan
shit. But we talk about people, family members, I think niggas should be able to kick your ass. Yeah. But and this was a go to hell ball weekend in the NBA, and Kyrie did it efficiently for literally 47 minutes and like 30 seconds. Because that last possession, nigga, and he'd been doing it all night, so I can't really get mad. It was going in. But that last possession, bro, like, he went brain dead. Fucking everything went brain dead. Like, by the time KD got the ball, he just said, throw that bitch up. And then Kyrie's the nigga playing defense that allowed the Jason Tatum layup. So it's like, the things I took from this, I picked Brooklyn in six. I'm sticking with that, even though this might go stick. I'm sticking with that because KD's not going to play that bad again. Kyrie can play like that every fucking night. Let's just keep it a buck. I still and they played great defense, Boston. But they did all of that and they won by 1 point. I know they won. I don't want to take anything away from the 1 point. I'm not expecting 20 points from fucking Horford and fucking Marcus Smart every night. I'm just not. And I still think they had a real good chance to get that game. I think Nets get game two. And then a lot of shit changed when it happens in Brooklyn. I still think Brooklyn can win this series just because the two offensive guys they've got. It's hard to beat them niggas, man.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, one thing we've seen, you know, is with the playoffs we've watched, those role players who have those big games at home, they disappear on the road. Yep. So when you got to go to Brooklyn and KD and Kyrie are back clicking. And like I said, we always say, you know, KD, it's not really that they defended them all so well. It's like, even though they did, you know, throw some people at them and tried a couple of different things. You got to shout out to Boston's head coach, because that's been their calling card since
Mr. Neil Long.
Since the All-Star break when they went on their run. But, you know, overall, you know, KD's not going to play that bad again.
Absolutely
so,
not.
You know, and then you hear the whispers of Ben Simmons possibly being ready to come back, which, you know, it sounds good.
I don't know what you're going to get from Ben.
Yeah.
He ain't played in the calendar yet.
But at the same time, what do you need from him besides playing defense?
Play defense and rebound.
That's literally it, bro. You could pass. Like, passing don't go away. Keep passing the rock.
Yeah. And I think Ben can be, like, defensively, I think he can really slow down guys. And I will say this. I'll give a great love to Udoka's defensive plan. I've never seen KD be guarded like that. Like, there was a nigga in his face all the time. I gotta give love to Al Horford. Al Horford was picking him up at the three-point line and not letting him pass. So they had a really good game plan. My problem is I don't think the Boston can do that for seven games. And they're going to have to do that for seven games. We saw yesterday they played that hard and they still almost lost. So it's like, to the point, you can do everything right. When you got two niggas who are that gifted offensively, sometimes it just don't fucking matter. You know, we talk about defense wins championships. Yeah, dude, but a great offense beats a great defense any day of the fucking week. So that's going to be something that's going to be tough to watch. But I think this is going to be a long, very entertaining series, man. So let's go to the other Eastern Conference series. The world champion, Milwaukee Bucks, beginning their reign. And, you know, their defense of their championship. They won 93-86 over our Chicago Bulls. And I will say this. Of course, we'll go into more detail about the series on third pick later on this week. I really love the Bulls effort. And one thing I wanted from this series was I wanted fight. We know they're not going to win the series. Like, the inevitable is going to happen. They're going to lose the series, whether, you know, being a sweep of five games. I love the game plan. I haven't seen these niggas play defense like that in a long fucking time. But, nigga, it was a level of go-to-hell ball I've never seen in my life. Like, we talk about DeFrozen. We got the full and DeMar DeFrozen experience last night. 6-for-25. 18 points, which is god awful. And it's like,
man,
Vooch had a bad game, but you know what's funny? I didn't have a problem with how Vooch played. I really didn't. He's gonna get them threes. He didn't make them. He has to make them. He's gonna get them threes because Milwaukee is god awful going 3-point line. But Vooch got him back in that game. You know,
I mean,
rebounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been tough on Vooch all year, and the reason I'm disappointed in Vooch is because it's been the same thing, the missing the bunnies. It's like you said, it's one thing you go 2-for-10-for-3, which Zach also went 2-for-10-for-3.
Yeah, we're not letting Zach off.
Which ain't going to happen most nights, but yeah. That combined with the bunnies Vooch was missing, that's what pisses me off, and that's the frustrating part. But like you said, you can't have him go 9-for-27, DeMar go 6-for-25, And, you know, I really expect, you know, positive things to happen for this ball club, no matter, you know, how well we play defensively. You know, you had Giannis in foul trouble, and this is just one of those games that if we were going to steal a game, it kind of felt like that was the one to steal. Like, yeah. even though, like I said, with two of my big three shooting that poorly, I'm not mad at, you know, that outcome. And I do think they could win. They could still get a game. Yeah. But
I think they can get a game. I just, you know, even what DeMar said, he said, we're not going to shoot like that. I agree. They're not going to shoot that bad again. But also,
Giannis ain't going to be in foul trouble. Yeah.
Giannis came into the fourth quarter with 27 points, and he finished with 27 points. That's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen. Yeah. And
we Chris can Middleton argue shot 30% from the field.
Listen, Chris Middleton playing ass for like 2 months now. So I think this is more of a trend more than just – he's been playing bad the last 2 months. Like, Drew been bailing this nigga out. Like, he has not been good the last couple months. Yeah.
And let me say this. Y'all boy, Patrick Ariza, can get the fuck on.
Like, Patrick Ariza.
Passing up these shots. Like, all this –
Patrick Ariza.
Y'all want to give him time.
No. You know, actually, last night, I kind of hit my breaking point. Like, I still like Pat. I still have a lot of faith in him. I just don't believe we have time to wait for this nigga to develop. I personally will put him on a trade block. I will put up a nice trade of Vooch, Kobe, Pat, and maybe a pick, see what we can get. Because I ain't got time for that shit. Like, you know, he passed up so many shots yesterday, bro. Like, shoot the fucking ball, dog. You know, and I actually got to give love to Kobe. Kobe had a pretty good game. Kobe helped get him back in that game at the end.
Definitely.
And it's like for the Bulls, I had the Bucks in the sweep. I do think they can grab a game now. Now, I think game two is going to be very important because if they can get through that first quarter without getting bum rushed, because I think the Bucks are going to come out on fire, which they did in game one, and I give Bulls credit for that. They survived the wave. Like, usually when you're down 16 points the first quarter, as we've seen from the Bulls this year, they start being pussy, and before you know it's a 30-point blowout. They got back in the game, even took a lead, so I give them that. But if they can get past game two, with it being close, I think they can steal game three, you know, so. But ultimately, Bulls fans, we just won't fight. That's really all we want from this series, man, so. That's all we can really say about that. Last series, we don't have nothing. It's another NBA TV series. Raptors Sixers. On paper, I thought it was going to go seven games, but all these injuries happy. Scottie Barnes not going to play game two. Gary Trent Jr. is not going to play game two. And motherfucking Thad Young's out. So I think we're going to get another blowout in game two. And I don't know if Scottie Barnes is going to come back to play. If he's not, this is going to be a sweep. But I really, you know, outside of, you know, Maxey had a great game. Maxey had 38 points. Tobias had a good game, 26 points. Harden had a lot of plays out there. He had some good 14 assists, 22 points. Not a bad game. Embiid didn't have to do much because of how well Maxey was playing. But we don't have that much to say about this.
Yeah, Maxey went crazy. It's unfortunate. You know, we was worried about, you know, the absence of Thibault when they go to Toronto. But with all of these injuries – Nick Nurse, no matter how good of a coach he is, he ain't going to be able to finesse his way out of this one. It's going to be tough. If you ain't got that, like you said, if you ain't got the pieces, you ain't got them. So, you know, that's unfortunate. And, you know, it puts a damper on it. But like you said, I think this one's going to go quick. But for your boy, James Harden, this is pretty good. This is what he needs. Like, get it together. Yeah. He had a solid game. You know, he shot 35% from the field.
Pete James Harden.
Hey, but he shot 85% from the free throw line and 50% from three. So, you know.
Eventually, there's going to come a time.
Analytics.
Where they're going to need James Harden to be James Harden. I just don't know if he can do that yet. So, that's going to be the big question moving on. That's all we got. The series, Bajman, what's one thing that stood out to you this weekend? And who would you say had the best performance of the weekend?
The best performance? That is a tough one, bro.
I mean, they didn't win, but I still got to give it to Kyrie Sevy. I mean, put on a fucking show. You know that.
I was gonna say Tatum just because he got the dub, you know, the game winning bucket. But I would say Tatum, you know. I would go Jason Tatum.
Tatum, we bought. We really
one thing that stood out to me though is the way I don't want to fuck his name up, but I'm not gonna call him Mr. Neil Long. Udoka. Yeah. One thing, you know, they do have a legit, you know, game plan for Kevin Durant. It's like, it damn near seemed like it's like, all right, we're going to let Kyrie do whatever the fuck he want to do. But this guy over here, we're going to focus in on him. So that's something, you know, that I really want to see going forward. How do you do that for seven games?
And, everybody got a plan to get punched in the mouth, and I think Mr. Durant gonna come out all guns blazing in game two, man. But that's all we got for y'all this week. Real fun weekend of playoff basketball. Looking forward to the rest of the week. We'll be back next week to break down another week of games, man. You want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershed Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow Barbershed Network at Barbershed Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershed Network. Keep donating to the 79th and Hallers GoFundMe. We're going to be leaving that up till Friday. You can get that on my Twitter account. We had a link up there. I'll put the link in the description box on the podcast. Dante, let them know about your show one more time before we get up out of here.
Yeah, one more time. Tonight, usually it's on Sundays, but tonight, MLBBro.com at 8:30. Also on the YouTube page, YouTube.com/MLBBro.com. We got the Everyday Weekend Wrap-Up. Me and my homie Malik Wright. Check us out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. So we will holler at y'all next week, man. We out.